Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, perhaps you've heard of the Dream Center. I think the one that most of us are familiar with is out in L.A. Just an amazing. I think they bought an old hospital. Isn't it an old hospital? They bought an old hospital. And I don't know how many distinct kind of outreaches and ministries that are there. But it's phenomenal. It's literally legendary out on the West Coast and especially in the L.A. area. And I did not know this, but Jeremy Porras, who's our guest today, the executive director of the Dream Center here in Raleigh, North Carolina. There's actually 100 Dream Centers around the country, many of them in cities where you guys are listening today, 150 of them globally. And so there's the kind of the Dream Center story and the kind of the mission-minded approach there and what all the Dream Center does. But then there's the story of one person, in this case Jeremy, who was a pastor and a worship pastor and then felt called into this. And then really all of our roles in dealing with kind of compassion ministries and going into neighborhoods where usually we drive by them, we avoid them, and going into neighborhoods that most of us don't live in, wouldn't choose to live in. And so it's kind of the Good Samaritan thing if you want to look at it that way. But if you study the scriptures at all, especially if you look through the Old Testament and then carry that into the New Testament, you're going to see that God has a very soft heart for the outsider, for the poor, for the people that are struggling. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a Tim Keller sermon once, and Tim Keller, who usually isn't this controversial and he's not usually this in your face, said, if you're not doing something regularly to help the poor, you should probably question whether you're a Christian at all. And coming from Tim Keller, that was a pretty shocking inflammatory statement. But when you compare it to the scriptures, the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan are certainly close to the heart of God. The question for us is, are they close to our heart? And if they are, what are we doing about it? Jeremy Porras, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Appreciate being here.
Great to have you here. And why does somebody move from L.A., from the West Coast? I mean, you didn't even stop in the middle of the country. You went all the way to the opposite side and ended up here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So let's kind of go back in time and how you grew up and how you got into the ministry, and then we'll talk about coming to Raleigh and eventually starting the Dream Center.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Southern California, the Los Angeles area, and met my wife there. We were high school sweethearts. And I remember telling her, before I go off to college at Biola University there to study music, my goal was to be a worship pastor, and I wanted to lead worship full-time. And yeah. So she was behind that, and after college, we got married and started leading worship full-time in the Southern California area. And really, that's where I began to hear about the Dream Center, and I wasn't involved in it when I was there, but Pastor Matthew Barnett, who's the founder of the Los Angeles Dream Center, he would come and speak at the church where I was at in Southern California, and he would speak once or twice a year. He'd bring the discipleship group. Those are those who are coming, that are in the programs. And man, the stories you would hear just from these folks going through it and just watching
God work. Oh, it's like a miracle
factory
out there.
It's phenomenal. Some crazy people that have that just really love the Lord, but you watch God do some transformation in those lives. It's just really left a mark on me. However, fast forward a little bit, and then in 2007, the Lord called my wife and I to move to North Carolina, and we really felt the Lord just directing us here, and we accepted a position at Crossroads Fellowship, which is in Raleigh, and I was the music pastor there for 9 years.
Now, did you guys feel like you had a hole in your life where you just didn't have enough humidity?
that was an interesting transition, to say the least.
Yeah, because you don't have it out there, and we have it, seems like, all the time here.
That's right. But we do enjoy the season, so my wife and I enjoy seeing the leaves turn, because you don't get much of that in California, but it's great to be here.
No, green is a word that gets used a lot out there, but it's not a color that you see a lot of in Southern California. But obviously the Dream Center, because when you look at the Dream Center in L.A. and you just go through their website, the number of individual ministries and outreach ministries and training and everything they do there, it's just mind-boggling. I could see how that would leave a mark on you. So you come out here, you're a worship pastor. Crossroads is a very successful, fairly large church here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. But did did the thought of a dream center and starting one, was that kind of a slow burn in the background, or did it kind of turn on one day?
It was. I had never even thought I would go down that path, and it never crossed my mind until the Lord placed it on my heart so poignantly at a certain moment of time.
And so what happened?
So as I was enjoying leading worship at Crossroads, as a matter of fact, we were in the middle of recording an album, and it was this like, man, I'm living the dream.
You know,
this is what I want to do. And it was in the middle of that project, that worship project, I'll never forget it, when somebody had left a voice message on my phone at church and said, Jeremy, I'm experiencing homelessness, and I checked myself into the local mental hospital. And I'm reaching out to you because you're the only name I can remember from church.
Wow.
And so I reached back out to her and went and visited at the local hospital there. And just, the Lord just really just wrenched my heart with that. And as I helped out, I remember her saying when she gets out on Monday, she's going to be homeless. She doesn't know what to do. And she's just crying. And I said, I will be there. What time do you get out? And don't fear. God will provide.
Wow.
God will provide. And then as I left, I was freaking out because I'm like, I don't know what to do to help.
Well, how many of us ever encountered somebody in church that some period of time goes by and now they're homeless?
Yeah.
I mean, you meet homeless people when they're homeless, but to meet somebody that's going into that is rare indeed. But I think for a lot of us, because I don't live in a part of town that I would think would produce homelessness.
Yeah.
Yet that's also part of that lie, because homelessness gets produced all over the place.
That's right. And to look at her, that's not the thing you would think
about.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think it.
You know? And so it just really, really crushed me, and the Lord used that in a great way. And so I came up with this plan to help her, and I realize it's a bad plan, but anyway, I had a plan. And when I got to the hospital, it was amazing because she said, she was in tears, and she said, the hospital hooked me up with a bus pass to Elizabeth City, which was out on the coast, and I'm going to go be near my family but staying at a homeless shelter. I just need a ride from here to the bus station. Mm. So I gave her that ride, and she's crying and thankful, and I'm like, man, I got off easy. But yet the Lord used that in my life to say, okay, Lord, well, if open my eyes to see the need.
Such a simple little thing had such a big impact.
Yeah, and it was that day that the Lord just dropped that vision of the Dream Center here in Raleigh, and it changed my life. And it was from that moment on that I began pursuing it.
Because what year was that? Because the Dream Center started in 2014, right?
It did, in 2014, and actually that was the same year that it started. It was in February of 2014 that experience
happened.
So God
didn't give you much of a hiatus.
Nope.
Once he birthed that in your heart.
Yeah, we got on it, and it's been a crazy journey ever since then.
Yeah, so. It's been crazy to watch, because I remember, and Pastor Chris Connell is a local pastor, he's going to call in after the 4:30 break, but I remember when he first started telling me about it, because he loved the Dream Center. I think he's been to the one out in L.A., and he's like, hey, this dude's starting a Dream Center in Raleigh, and I'm like, how do you do that? Well, we're going to find out about that next when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, talking about something that's been a phenomenon around the country, the Dream Centers. There's about 100 of them in the United States, 150 of them globally. The big mothership really is in L.A., and a lot of people are familiar with that. But over here on this side of the country, in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live and breathe and where we broadcast from, several years ago, God kind of birthed this, or maybe even rebirthed it. Jeremy Porras is the executive director of the Dream Center here in Raleigh. He came here from L.A. As a worship pastor and came to Crossroads, which is a great church here locally. And I didn't just say that Crossroads is a great church, Jeremy, because Andy George just signed on on Facebook Live, who's the senior pastor. Caught you, Andy. You thought you could sneak in here. But it is. It's a phenomenal church. The thing I love about Crossroads, and actually a church from Southern California, I was talking to one of their guys there about outreach. Crossroads, of all the churches I've dealt with, not just here locally, but I've traveled a lot. I do a lot of different ministry things around the country. Crossroads is one of the greatest local outreach churches I've ever been around.
Mm.
And I think that probably, whether you knew it or not, that had some fertilizer effect on you.
Absolutely.
Because then in 2014, when you helped that lady that became homeless, who remembered you from church, and then to start the Dream Center. So how does one do that? And Jeremy Porras is the guy that he and his wife that God used to start the Dream Center here in Raleigh back in 2014. But what did that begin to look like? I mean, I want us all to learn, Jeremy, from your experience, because I'm a former house painter.
Hmm.
Now it's nationally syndicated radio. Okay, so you're like, how do you go from A to Z on that one, which only God can make those plans. But How did that work in your life? Because I want people to be inspired by, because listen, you're a great guy and I'm sure your wife's a wonderful woman, but you and neither one of us is Babe Ruth, and
no.
It's all about what God can do, and it's not so much about us in so much as we just kind of put our yes on the table.
And that's exactly it. I think I just said yes, and I remember going to the senior pastor at the time was Chuck Million and at Crossroads Fellowship, and he gave me just some great advice. You know, he said, this is a big vision, it's a big dream, and he supported me in that sense and mentored me for about a year. But he said, you know what, I had it in my mind to go get this big hotel and just really open up this huge residential facility, and certainly that's still the dream of where we're headed for the Dream Center. But at the time, you know, we didn't have anything to our name, really. And he said, well, do what you can do. And so that's when we just turned to the city and we started what we called Adopt-A-Block, which I thought was, we just filled up my trunk with groceries and drug a few friends, printed up some Dream Center t-shirts, and off we went.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And so I realized it wasn't rocket science to love people. And if you just willingly reach out. And so our goal was to share the gospel. We wanted to reach into these communities with the light of the world. But the food was an excuse to do that and an opportunity.
Well, it's a real need. And oftentimes, if we show up, on our gallant steed, and all we have is a Bible tract, and people are starving to death, they can't pay their bills, they have broken families, which is a tremendous problem across the country. Jesus shared the gospel and discipled and led people to himself, of course, but he was also feeding people, he was also healing the sick, and meeting felt needs. I think oftentimes it's that they're and go, well, yeah, I guess we need to do that. No, I mean, we should do that because
Absolutely.
The scriptures make it clear that we're called to do that.
Yeah, Matthew 25 would refer to that for sure. But I also see the flip side of it now being in this world a little bit more where there's people doing humanitarian work, but there's no gospel connected to it. So we've also
made it. I can help
you
in the near term, and I'm not doing anything about your eternity.
Yeah, I don't want to make you comfortable on this side of eternity.
Right.
I want to make sure that you're... the gospel is being presented. But when we reached out to these communities, man, it was amazing because we started with a few friends, and then before you know it, we had too many volunteers showing up, so we started a second community and had too many showing up again, and so we started a third, a fourth, and now we're about to start our seventh.
Why do you think people were coming out? Because it's expanded. I mean, 2014 is when it started. So if you look at the RaleighDreamCenter.org is the website. If you just go there and peruse around. Adopt a Block, Community Bible Studies, Food Bank Shopping, Homeless Outreach, Kid Jams, Activity Bus, which is really cool, a new Activity Bus refurbished, Pathway Ministry. And then you've got Summer Reading Program. And then we're going to talk about Adopt a Coast, which came about as a result of Hurricane Florence. But why do you think people started to show up so much?
You know, there's two reasons. There are certain churches that it was a great outlet for them because they didn't have to reinvent the wheel for a local missions opportunity. And so I'm making it clear that we are a missions agency here locally, and I consider myself to be a missionary to Raleigh. And so as that provided opportunities, it just filled the need. But then there's also other people that want to come because they want to serve the food.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's certainly given us a good platform to encourage those volunteers with the gospel and challenge them in that we're here for a purpose. And so, but really, man, it's just been amazing to see the number of volunteers come out. I think last year we had over 4,500 volunteers come throughout the year. So with being such a young organization, that was a pretty good showing.
Well, when you look at that, I printed this off earlier, the 2017 impact through the Raleigh Dream Center. And again, there's 100 Dream Centers around the country. There's a good chance there's one in your market. We're on in 24 different markets around the country. Like we looked up Indianapolis, there's one there, and pretty much every state that we're on the radio in. But just gospel presentations, 240, which is more individual, over 3,000, 238 outreach events, which would include Adopt a Block. So that's like 6,800 doors were knocked on, 672 people prayed for in the food line. You've got 51 total churches engaged last year, 25 new churches, 56 groups from churches, and then 71,000 pounds of food given away, 1,000 meals, over 1,500 in attendance at Kids Jam. It's really amazing. And that's just in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just blowing up in our face with it. And so, and the need is so pressing in that it's and I love seeing the churches come alive because it's really, this is on the back of the church. They're the ones carrying the load. That's where our volunteers are coming from. They're the ones that are helping fund it. And so it's just been an amazing movement happening here.
Yeah, and oftentimes we sit there, you know, there's one of the dirty words in evangelicalism is parachurch ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I look at this and go, look at any of these, whether it's my ministry, your ministry, the things that we do, you came out of serving in a local church, I'm in a local church, And it's just an extension of the local church. We'd sit there and go, well, those are two different camps. No, it isn't. That's like saying your arm is a different camp than your leg. No, they aren't. They're part of the same body.
Yeah.
And so what's it been like to kind of engage other churches? Because I've been down that road many times myself. It's not always the easiest thing.
Man, that has been one of the biggest blessings to me.
That's because, nice to hear.
Yeah, and I feel like I can walk into so many churches around our county and feel like I'm at home with family because these are people that I've been on the street serving with, and you have a bond with those folks. And when you walk into their church to do a presentation or whatever and share of your ministry, man, I feel like I could be at home at many places around. But it's not always that smooth and that easy. Certainly there's, churches maybe have different point of view on how you do missions outreaches. And so it hasn't always been without bumps in the road. But at the same time, in general, I'm amazed at how well the churches are working so well together for a common goal of sharing the gospel.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And powerful.
And then as it expanded, because you guys have a location, so you had to get a location. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at, and we're going to hear from Pastor Chris Connell, who's with Raleigh First Assembly, RFA Church, is calling in after the break. But I think you're doing something with them because they got like, what, another 30,000 square feet? They're getting ready to, they're working on it right now.
That's right. That's right. We got some plans in the works.
And you guys are going to be going there. Yeah. So as God calls you to it and he starts blessing things and you have needs, guess what? God provides for the needs as well. So I want to talk about that after the break. We'll hear from Pastor Chris. But real quick, Jeremy, we've only got like 40 seconds before we hit the break. The Hurricane Florence thing, and then you go from adopt a block, which is individual neighborhoods, to adopt a coast.
Yeah.
So how quick did that kind of come up once Florence hit?
It came up in like 2 days, 3 days of I had no idea we were going to do it, and then a certain couple things happened, and man, before you knew it, we had trailers of big tractor trailers of food showing up at a warehouse. It's a phenomenal story.
Yeah, we're going to hear about that. We'll hear from Pastor Chris Connell when we come back from the break about this is a local church, RFA Church here in Raleigh, that's gotten involved with the Raleigh Dream Center and actually going to be sharing some space together. And then we'll talk about that. How do you end up going from adopt a block to adopt a coast? And then what's your role in all of it? We'll go there too when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and love isn't always on time, like the song says right there. And you know what? Pastor Chris Connell from RFA Church isn't usually on time either. Hey, Chris, how are you?
You know, Steve, you have the best Christian, I use that word loosely, Christian talk show bump in music I've ever heard. I'm just saying that now.
Yeah, and if you recognize Pastor Chris's voice, besides years of being a chain smoker, which is a total complete fabrication, but Pastor Chris will occasionally is kind enough to sit in and guest host for me. So he's here with RFA Church in Raleigh, and Chad Harvey's the senior pastor there. We have to say that so that Chris gets his bonus, his Christmas bonus.
Yes! But, thank you. Every time you say it, I get a bonus. Say
just looking out for you. That's right. Pastor Chad Harvey at RFA Church. Anyway, Chris, you know, you were the one that originally told me several years ago, probably 4 years ago, 2014, about the Dream Center thing. You had a love for the Dream Center out in L.A. And so what's it been like from your perspective as a pastor to kind of see what God's doing here locally with Jeremy and his wife and the team at the Raleigh Dream Center? Just kind of take us into your perspective on all of that.
Well, 20 years ago, and I don't exaggerate this, Tommy Barnett came to our church, and he was one of the guys that founded the whole Dream Center movement, right? And he cast his vision into our church 20 years ago. I mean, I wasn't even on staff at that time. I was traveling and speaking as an evangelist. And I remember hearing about this church having this passion for a Dream Center 20 years ago.
Wow.
And it didn't come around. We weren't really pursuing it. And then suddenly this guy named Jeremy Porras shows up a few years ago, and he's like, hey, I got this Dream Center thing. And we had just ended a really long partnership with the Inner City Ministry. And it was a good ending. It wasn't negative. It wasn't, you know, a parting of ways. And we literally were like, well, where are we going to put our investment into community outreach now? And Jeremy just literally shows up on our doorstep one day and we're like, you're starting a Dream Center? Like, we've been talking about this for 20 years. And so for us, it was like this wake-up call, like, wow, God, you haven't forgotten about this thing you put in our church's heart 20 years ago.
Well, you, Pastor Chris, you told me about it before Jeremy, even before 2014, when we worked together on the Harvest Crusade stuff here in Raleigh. You were talking about doing a Dream Center here back then.
Yeah, exactly, back in 07. In fact, when I was out in L.A. working with you with Greg Laurie and helping out with the Harvest stuff, I went to the Dream Center there in L.A. to see it and experience it and got behind the scenes and everything else and saw the whole deal. and was amazed by it. And so we totally got what Jeremy was trying to do. Like, when he came in, we were like, yeah, we know what you want to do. And so we were really excited about it, and we knew that he's starting at ground level. And we felt like there was a need in our community for a Dream Center. And there's needs. You know, every time I see a new church, I literally say, praise God, because we need more. And every time I see a new ministry starting like this, you know, so it's not like people who are doing community outreach in the area weren't doing enough. I just think there's more work to be done. And when the Dream Center came along, we were so ecstatic about the opportunity because of the transformation we had heard about in local communities, because they really excel at getting in at the ground level in local communities and building relationships with them, and then seeing God transform those communities as they build those relationships over time and build trust with the neighborhood and those kind of things. And we've got all these folks in our church that wanted to serve, and we didn't have a place to put them, and now they have a place to go and do this. And now, actually, we brought Jeremy's dad moved out from, left his ministry position out west and moved out here to help him. And so we brought him in part-time to help us with our worship ministry, and the other part-time he's working with Jeremy. So we're full in with Dream Center, and we love what God's doing there.
And now what's going on? You guys have an awesome facility, and part of it was not developed yet. I mean, the space is there because it was kind of, you guys kind of bought a commercial warehouse kind of space, and that's where we had Call to Worship just a few weeks ago. But tell us about this partnership in terms of, like, the physical plant there at the church, because this is really an exciting development. Are we allowed to talk about this publicly? Well, too bad.
Course,
we just
did. Absolutely. You ever know this? It's out in public now. You know, here I have one of these what-if ideas. See, we had this. Jeremy and I had a conversation, like, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, and literally was like, you know, what if, you know, Dream Center needed space, and we had, you know, we had 93,000, we'd finished 60, and we're trying to finish up the rest, and, you know, maybe you guys could do that. And literally we had this meeting about they needed office space, and we said, well, we don't have a lot of office space, but then we could move some people around and help you guys out. And literally Jeremy ends the meeting and goes, you know, you remember a couple years ago? And literally we ran to the architect's office that afternoon. I called him up, and the next day we were in the office because we're in a project beginning in January. And I said to the architect, could we get this in time? And they said, if you move really fast, we can make it work. And in 2 weeks, we were having gobs of conversations with our deacons and our elders and our pastors and with the Dream Center folks, and to see if it could work. And lo and behold, it's going to work. And we are so ecstatic because we didn't feel like we wanted to take over the Dream Center. They're their own entity. We're not taking them over at all. But we felt like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we could help them take the next step and get a permanent home. And eventually, I'm sure God's going to bless them with their own building and everything else. But we thought, wouldn't this be awesome? Yeah. So literally, it became a what-if conversation. And 2 weeks later, the architect had presented drawings, and it was approved, and it was a part of our overall construction plan for completing our facility starting in January. So we're ecstatic about it.
That's super exciting. So, Jeremy, to be able to partner with a church like that for the Dream Center, the Raleigh Dream Center, and again, the website is RaleighDreamCenter.org, what kind of blessing is that to you guys?
You know, it's
compliment us big time. Compliment us big time.
Chris, I'm going to put you on hold if you don't shut up. I love you. God bless you.
Well, I tell you, I'm so grateful for the folks at RFA Church and certainly many churches that have been working alongside of us. But with the folks at RFA, when we approached this conversation, I thought, man, there's a slight chance this could happen. And it was just a God thing. You know, God had it arranged at that moment for us to talk about it and to feel their support, to feel the church getting behind it and the way they voted us in and allowing this whole project to happen. It's quite astounding. And so we are going to be able to have some space there, which for us is a huge blessing. And not only is it just space, I mean, we're not getting stuffed in a corner somewhere. This actually is a useful space that has a dock height for our trucks to go in and out of. It's going to have the front office spaces that we need. And so it's really the perfect situation that our board, the Dream Center Board of Directors, was looking for a property like this. And when it came up this way, and just the way the church is also working with us to help us out, it's just been a tremendous blessing.
That's super awesome. And then that'll be great for the church too, Chris, obviously, because you're going to have a really effective local outreach ministry there sharing your parking lot, which is going to be great for the people there at the church too.
Oh, it's perfect. You know, we're ecstatic about this. And again, I want to emphasize it is an RFA's Dream Center. It's Jeremy Porras and his team and their Dream Center. But we are seriously seeing tons of our folks that are getting more engaged with it. And that's what we want to see, because there are folks that are called to serve in different capacities. And there are folks that feel called to serve with this type of a ministry. And we're so thankful for the partnership. And we've even got, I think, Jeremy, we've got a couple of folks that came out of RFA that are on your staff. He keeps stealing our people, actually, is what he's doing. But But and so, you know, and you have to be very careful with parts of this, because if you don't negotiate it well, it can go bad. And I feel God's grace, we've been able to work all that out. And I'm ecstatic to be a part of seeing them go to the next level. And I know God's going to bless them way beyond us and what's happening now.
That's
but
awesome.
We're ecstatic to be a part of it.
Chris, Pastor Chris Connell, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, under the adept leadership of Pastor Chad Harvey. Cha-ching, another Christmas bonus for Pastor Chris. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. I'll be looking for my gift come early January. Anyway, Jeremy, let's talk about, because adopt a block, when you're going into an individual block and getting to know people and serving them, let's talk about Adopt a Coast. So you mentioned this, but it got going fast.
Yeah. So as we were at that point of where the Hurricane Florence was coming towards Raleigh, and at that point we thought we were going to be hit pretty hard here in our area, and it was on a Friday, and Los Angeles Dream Center reached out to me and said it was one of Clint on the staff there, and Clint said, "Man, Pastor Matthew was thinking of you and wanted to let you know that we're sending trucks now, and we want to get into Raleigh before the storm happens, and you know, and so are you doing relief work?" And I said, "Yes," even though it was not even on my radar, honestly, to do it. And when he made that call, I just said, "All right, I guess we're doing relief work." And the awesome thing was this space that RFA was telling you about, that Pastor Chris was just mentioning, it was a storage area, and it was full. And when I went in there that day, it was completely emptied out.
Wow.
And I went to Pastor Chris and said, "Man, LA's bringing trucks, and what do you think? Can we use that space back there? It's not quite ready yet." So we cleaned it up real quick, and our team volunteers came in. And so on Monday, we opened it up. But at this point, the storm had changed directions, and so Los Angeles actually rerouted their team to Fayetteville, which made sense because that's where the storm had hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so, but it left us kind of going, "Well, man, now what do we do?" And we just reached out to a few networks, and on the next day, so we opened it on Monday, had no idea what we were going to do with it. On Tuesday, we had two tractor trailers full of supplies come into our warehouse, over 60,000 pounds of stuff. And since then, in those first about four weeks now, we've sent out, this week we'll have sent 250,000 pounds of food and supplies out to 10 counties that have been affected by the storm.
And again, we're going to talk about this after the break. Besides taking much needed supplies down there, people are going down there and serving.
That's right.
For example, on Facebook Live, Kim, thanks Kim for putting comment on there. Kim Mann, my husband and I did Adopt a Coast doing chainsaw.
Yes, they did.
You were their worship pastor at Crossroads Fellowship, which
is
a church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So being able to go down there, and listen, friends, whether you're in Raleigh or in North Carolina or even this side of the country, doesn't matter. You can get in on what God is doing. RaleighDreamCenter.org is the website. What specifically is happening, not just locally, but down on the coast as well, and some opportunities for all of us. When we come back with Jeremy Porras, the executive director of the Raleigh Dream Center, over 100 Raleigh or Dream Centers around the country, 150 of them globally. What are we doing? Ask that question about outreach. We should all be doing that. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, you can join us on Facebook Live. Jeremy Porras is here today, and he's the executive director, founder of the Raleigh Dream Center, he and his wife. And now your dad's involved, too.
That's cool. Right. Yeah.
And saw that on the website, RaleighDreamCenter.org. And by the way, whether you're a pastor or just kind of a garden variety follower of Jesus Christ like me, I hope this inspires you. And I'm not saying you're called to start a dream center in your town today, although you may be. But don't ever underestimate what God can do with one person that just decides to say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'm available. I don't know what I do with my time. I don't have a lot of money, yada, yada, yada." You'll be amazed what God will do with a simple yes. So let this be an inspiration to you today. Whether you live in Raleigh or North Carolina or on the East Coast, doesn't matter at all, because God wants to use you right where you're at. So when you hear a story like Jeremy's, this is where I have to be careful, because this is a nationally syndicated Christian talk radio show. So I can't make it too Raleigh-centric. And even though we're talking about the Raleigh Dream Center, what God is doing here, he wants to do everywhere. And it's not just Jeremy. It might be you too. So be inspired. If there's something that God has birthed in your heart and you're like, "Man, I have a real burden for this particular area, this particular thing, this particular aspect of our neighborhood or our community," get in there. And you might be surprised at first, but after a while, I think we should come to expect watching God do awesome things, which is what's been going on since day one with the Raleigh Dream Center. Go back to 2014 when it started. Now you've got Adopt a Block, Community Bible Studies, Food Bank Shopping, Homeless Outreach, Kids Jam, Activity Bus, the Pathway Ministry, Summer Reading Programs, and now, as if adopting a block wasn't enough, adopting a coast. So besides sending, what did you say,
Quarter million pounds. of food and supplies.
And that's only in how many weeks? When was Florence?
Yeah, 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks ago. Oh, my goodness. And then, but people are actually going there.
Yes.
So what does that look like?
You know, it was a step of faith. So we just said, you know, we're going to go ahead and turn our attention to the coast, which has been phenomenal because we actually run our Adopt-A-Block program simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so we have people volunteering
that's
here
awesome.
While others are going to the coast. And so, you know, and it wasn't even that we were highly networked either. It was just, you know, somebody said, well, my dad goes to this church, you know, along the coast, and their place was messed up, and maybe you could reach out. And so we just started making phone calls like that and following up. And sure enough, you know, we started, when we did our first Adopt the Coast, we had over 100 people sign up. So they showed up at our warehouse, and they left early on. It was a one-day trip. And man, we split them up into three different churches, and then those churches split them up into multiple homes
wow.
that they went out. And we're able to, you know, do a lot of debris cleaning and home cleanouts, and you know, it's some hard stories that we've
sure.
Been around as well.
Well, one of the local TV stations here did a story on you guys. I watched it earlier.
That's right.
And there was a gal that was a volunteer that I think lives here now, but has family and stuff back. It was very difficult for her to go down there.
That's right.
And see the level of devastation. I wanted to ask you about volunteers in general, both there. And the ones here locally, what do you see happen to people that all of a sudden start to give of their time and go dive into some of the tougher areas of town and this type of compassion ministry, whether it be Adoptive Coast with Hurricane Florence or just working here locally?
Well, I'm a big proponent of that serving changes you. And so you think you're going to change somebody else's life, but really the Lord uses it to change and shape you as well. And so we have a lot of volunteers. We'll hear it over and over. Even a good friend of mine that's been volunteering with us for a long time, he texted me, was yesterday or Sunday maybe, and just wanted to thank me. And it just meant a lot to me that, you know, how much this ministry and serving has impacted him as a husband, even in just his walk with the Lord and with his children. And so it was just a powerful thing. You see that from time to time. With just your leaders that are involved. Serving changes you, and my hope is that it would affect how our relationship is with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that affects everything. It affects that how we treat our wives. It affects how we treat our kids. And you walk away from that. I love this ministry with because as my kids have been serving along with them, they're both in middle school now, but they've been serving since day one for the last 4 years. And they just see a different side of life, you know, and it helps you realize that, man, you know, we are blessed. We don't have extravagant things, but at the same time, we're very blessed.
Yeah.
And so it's changed my children. And so for that, I hope that they're going to grow up missions-minded in how we do things. But certainly along the coast, as we've sent people out, you know, we've been able to make it clear that, hey, when we're going to the coast, these are people that are working hard. Their lives have been disrupted. And when you're there, man, put your hand on their shoulder. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Sit them down. And just,
love on them.
Yeah. And so we've had the opportunity to share the gospel. We've had the opportunity just to love on people, giving them a little break, a little rest.
Sure.
And along with the supplies and help and manpower. And so it's just been a powerful, powerful thing. Since we've done this, we've actually taken 21 trips to the coast
wow.
into 10 counties.
That's
and
awesome.
And so just made a lot of good connections and networks and just praying that. And we're going to continue this. We haven't put a stop date on it either because we know the work is in the future.
It's going to take, you think, 12 months. It'll take longer than that. I
yeah.
mean, the devastation down there is mind-boggling.
It is. And it's so
just
sad.
Like in the panhandle of Florida. I mean,
yeah.
you just can't get your mind around it.
Yeah, so I would encourage you, wherever you're listening to this, man, I've been so encouraged because, again, that first call from Los Angeles is what sparked us on the East Coast to make a difference here.
Yeah.
And then since then, we've gotten supplies from Texas Dream Center. We've gotten supplies from Virginia Dream Center. We've got actually, even as I speak right now, there's a group at our warehouse that's delivering from Ohio and from Virginia.
That's awesome.
The Mercy Drops Dream Center. Just want to give them a little love for working that out in Virginia. But Florida has sent stuff up. And you know, it's just amazing to see just that network of people. So
yeah.
you can do something from where you're at.
Absolutely.
And I love seeing, you know, some people, there's a gal who's a homeschool mom, and she's just rallying her own friends through Facebook, and we're picking up a truckload of supplies because of the stuff you can do it as one person.
Absolutely.
One person can make a difference no matter where you live.
Immensely. So. And you sit there and go, well, hey, God saved me. Jesus died on a cross. And then he gives me the faith to believe and he saves me so that I can go to church on Sunday and go to Bible study fellowship on Monday night and go back on Wednesday night. And that's about it. No.
Yeah.
I mean, that when Jesus talked about he came to give us life and give it to us abundantly, I think most of us, Jeremy, don't really know what that means. We haven't really experienced it. And until you start pouring yourself out for others, then you're like, oh, okay. Because all of a sudden you start firing on all 8 cylinders that God put in your heart, that it's all about not you. It's all about serving, which is love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's about serving, ultimately.
That's right. And unfortunately, too many people miss that. And that's where I'm glad that we're able to provide that opportunity locally. And I would encourage anybody that, you know, get involved, get out there and get into the, see where missions is happening locally in your areas and just jump in. It's not rocket science. It's not hard to love people.
No.
You just got to be willing.
You're going into a neighborhood, you're meeting people, you're finding out their needs, you're bringing some groceries, you're helping serve this. So what does that, real quick, what does that look like? An adopt-a-block. So what happens when you do that?
Yeah, so we bring in groceries, and one thing to make clear,
you
we picked the same apartment. Yeah, we did. it was through a relationship I had with one person in the community.
Yeah.
But we showed up with groceries and because we want to be a blessing. But our goal is to share the gospel. So we have a prayer team at the end of the food line. So as people come through, they can get the food, and if they want prayer, they can. If not, they can skip it.
Sure.
But now we're also bringing in basketball hoops, we're bringing in soccer goals, and we're playing with kids. And we have these great relationships with the kids, man. I tell you, they steal my heart every time. But the kids thing, and then we'll always share the gospel. We'll sit the kids down on a tarp and share in some sort of gospel related story. And we'll oftentimes pray with the kids. And we have a team that goes out into the community door knocking, inviting them to the adopter block. But right there, the door to door, man, the ministry there is so powerful. And the stories that I get from,
and then you keep going back to the same areas, right?
Yeah. And so these are friends that, and here's the big thing. I would always caution people that it's not an us and them, that we all have, we're all equal at the foot of the cross.
Yeah, that's right.
We've made some really good friends in all these communities that we serve in, and it's been a powerful thing.
Oh yeah, it's so transformative. And you mentioned that not just for the people where you're down there serving them, but for the people that are during the serving. We're talking to Jeremy Porras, who's the executive director and the founder of the Raleigh Dream Center here in North Carolina, RaleighDreamCenter.org. And by the way, there's 100 of them around the country. So whether you're here or not, you should just Google your own city if you're in Indianapolis, because there's one in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I saw it right now.
So Indianapolis Dream Center, or if you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or you're in San Francisco, just Google your city and Dream Center. And if there's not a Dream Center there, there's going to be other outreach ministries.
That's right.
So this is one of those things that, again, like I mentioned, what Tim Keller said earlier in a sermon I listened to, he's like, listen, if you're not regularly doing something to help the poor, to serve the needy, you should probably question whether you're a Christian at all. That's how close it is to the heart of God that we're serving. And we can serve ourselves well. We can build kick-butt churches and great sound systems and all the awesome stuff, but all that looks like is a bunch of Christians taking care of themselves as opposed to us showing up in your neighborhood and coming to serve you.
Yeah, and I would encourage you. I mean, my background is music, so I have music degrees. I didn't grow up doing street outreach. This isn't my world, you know, and so yet you just got to be willing.
Yeah, which is were you surprised by that you think you're taking this big leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
Which is what it looks like from the earthly perspective. Were you surprised that, and I know it hasn't been easy, but God has been in it the whole time and has brought it along. What have you learned personally as a Christian from this experience?
I've learned that the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And his promises are true, and you can hold on to him through the most difficult financial season, the most difficult relational season when things get intense or when things get tough. And it's challenged me in a lot of areas, but the Lord is faithful. And I can hold on to him through all of that. And so, but at the same time, I can see just, and we've got it logged in so many ways of just how many times the Lord has pulled through and just how faithful he is, but that God relentlessly loves people. And I mean, you know, Romans 5:8, that he demonstrated it by sending his son to die for us. And so he doesn't hold anything back. And so I want to get that same message out and not hold it back either. And, you know, not be ashamed of the gospel and getting into those communities, getting that light to shine brighter and loving on people, because the message is true and people need to hear that in their darkest circumstance.
Yeah, exactly right. What a great way to end. Jeremy Porras, Executive Director of the Raleigh Dream Center here in North Carolina, RaleighDreamCenter.org. If you feel led, and hopefully you do, to go check it out. If you're here in the area, Sorry, you have zero excuses. So you need to go check that out, RaleighDreamCenter.org. If you're outside of the area, at the very least, go there and check it out. Perhaps you can make a donation and feel led to do that. That would be awesome and be helping with Florence, the hurricane relief. Or look for a Dream Center in your city and get involved. We really don't have an option to do nothing. It's not an option. Apathy is not an option for a Christian. Jeremy, thanks so much for being here today.
You bet. It's a privilege.
It's awesome to have you here. RaleighDreamCenter.org. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. And God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.